Hello, I'm Veronica Skiersbeck. Time to join our Vatican expert, Joan Lewis, once again.
Joan, so how was your week? Did you have a good week? It's nice and chilly here in Rome this week.
Well, in compensation for the chilly weather, we got sun. And I mean, we are all so sick of rain and gray and clouds and drizzle. You know, you start watching the Travel Channel just to get some sunshine.
Mm. So, anyway, you mentioned that you were sick of bad weather, but this was the World Day of the Sick on the 11th.
Of really people who are really sick. That has been kind of the highlight, really, of 4 or 5 days of this week of different events, different papal messages, the Angelus, so forth and so on. And Pope Benedict's message for the 17th World Day of the Sick, which was celebrated, of course, on February 11th, which is the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. His message was made public over the weekend. And he not only talked about those who are ill, he did talk about death, too. But he talked about all human life must be protected, especially that of the weak and the suffering. And he affirmed the absolute and supreme dignity of every human being, even when weak and shrouded in the mystery of suffering. And of course, at various times when he did, at the Angelus and in his message, talk about suffering, he talked about how we conform ourselves to Christ, who suffered when we are ill and suffering and have pain and so forth, how actually, if we can think about it and offer it up, we are conforming ourselves to Christ in that. Again, Sunday at the Angelus, when the Pope spoke about the upcoming, at that time, World Day of the Sick, a lot of this was linked, really, even though the Pope didn't mention her by name, to the case of Eluana Englaro, and I'm
which
sure
everybody knows about in Italy, but perhaps our listeners
right.
don't know too much about
no,
it.
No, we briefly referred to it in this time period last weekend, but she's a girl who, at the age of 30, she's 38, well, she died Monday at the age of 38, and had been in a coma, called a vegetative state, for 17 years following a car accident in 1992. Her father had been trying for 10 years to get permission and finally did this past fall, got permission from Italy's Supreme Court to remove her food and hydration tubes. And there's been this, you know, this has divided Italian society. It's divided.
That's how she died in the end.
That's how she died in the end. She'd been cared for 15 years by nuns in northern Italy. And then she was removed and to a clinic where in a couple of days' time they started removing the tubes, and she died much sooner than any of the doctors and so forth predicted she would. Anyway, the Holy Father in his message was talking about the value of life. I know that a number of comments were made by people within the Vatican, especially after, obviously, Eluana died Monday night. And the news of her death spread very, very quickly. And her funeral is Thursday of this week. But it was a very, very sad case. And
there was a big interest in Italy, and it divided public opinion.
Well, it was very much like the America's Terry Schiavo case, and the removal of feeding tubes, the family getting involved, people who saying you can't take a life, only God can take life. So there were so many similarities in the two cases, feeding tubes. So our week really has been
dedicated to the sick.
It's been dedicated to the sick, to one who was sick and dying. And you know, there's actually another event we should certainly mention linked to February 11th. I briefly mentioned Our Lady of Lourdes. There was, of course, the Mass for the sick in St. Peter's, and the Holy Father came down, I think it was after communion time, and did speak to people. But February 11th also marked the 80th anniversary of the establishment of Vatican City. February 11th, 1929, the signing of the Lateran Pacts between the Holy See and Italy created this sovereign state. And there were actually three parts to those pact. One was regarded the sovereignty of Vatican City State. And it was like the day afterwards, Vatican City began to to start building a lot. I've been dedicating my blog to this and to pictures and everything else, but building a lot of the buildings that, that you and I see today when we go into Vatican City, the train station, so the governorate, so many other interesting buildings. So the establishment of Vatican City State as the home to the administrative offices of the Roman Catholic Church. And that indeed was a very important date. And then February 12th marked the 78th anniversary of the first transmission on Vatican Radio.
And that was that's linked to the Lateran Pacts, isn't it?
And that was
Pius XI entrusted Marconi with the
in 1931, Vatican, exactly.
The Vatican Radio. Of course, so, there was a financial agreement that stemmed from...
Yes. And why did were the latter why was there this need to create these pacts and so forth between Italy and the Holy See? Basically because when Italy as we know it today, first it was a kingdom and then the Republic of Italy, the lands belonging to popes, their temporal holdings, the papal states, were actually confiscated and absorbed, if you will, into what we know as Italy today. They were never compensated. The church was never compensated for the land, the loss of income, many, many other things. They had farms and so forth. And so finally, it took a lot of years, but in 1929, an agreement was reached between Italy and the Vatican, the Holy See.
Putting an end to this Roman question.
Yes, exactly. That's what it was called for 50 years almost.
And of course, Pope Benedict received a new ambassador this week, didn't he, from Brazil?
He did.
A country where he's traveled to.
There's been a number of new ambassadors in recent months, and we had Luiz Felipe de Seixas Correa. He's the new ambassador from Brazil to the Holy See. And, you know, maybe our listeners should know that there are two sets of ambassadors, if you want to put it that way, in two diplomatic corps in Italy. You have the diplomats from countries that are accredited to the state of Italy, to the Quirinale, as the presidential palace is called, and then you have another entire diplomatic corps accredited to the Holy See. And it was a very interesting speech that the Holy Father made when he received the ambassador's credentials. He talked about at quite some length about he said he hoped that the principles that safeguard human dignity, of which Brazil has always been a stern defender, that fundamental human values may still be promoted and spread. And he said especially explicit recognition for the sanctity of the family, the protection of unborn children, the protection of life from conception to its natural end. And that was a good portion of his talk. And the Holy Father also dedicated some time to the subject of biological experimentation. And we've obviously had plenty of speeches and so forth in recent months, in recent years, really referring to the ethical principles behind in vitro or non-ethical, behind in vitro fertilization, so forth and so on, where the Holy See stands on those issues. And the Pope said the Holy See has always promoted ethical principles that protect the existence of the embryo and the right to be born. And so we had these ethical issues, the protection of the sanctity of marriage, human life, the unborn child. And then turning to kind of a different field, the Holy Father spoke of the government initiatives encouraging them in Brazil to fight poverty because it's just rampant. It's very, very huge in Brazil. And he said, when speaking of poverty, he said there was actually a poverty that was greater than the lack of material goods, and he said that would be obviously spiritual poverty. And he talked about the danger of consumerism and hedonism, together with the lack of solid moral principles to guide the lives of ordinary citizens. He says this consumerism, this hedonism, weakens the structure of Brazilian families and societies, and the Pope more or less ended his talk by emphasizing the need for solid moral formation at all levels. When he did briefly mention juridical, this is always a question between states and their relationships with the Holy See. There are some states where the church has bigger problems than in others regarding its juridical status. And it may have to do with tax issues. It may have to do with the sovereignty, if you will, of Catholic schools, of Catholic institutions. And he said he noted that there was a recent agreement which defined the juridical status of the church and regulates many issues of interest to both sides. And he said this can only be good for both sides.
Well, thank you very much, Joan.
Well, see you next week at the same time.
Well, thanks there, as always, to Joan Lewis for sharing with us her thoughts. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.